Thanks, Craig. Well, things that I've heard this morning have reinforced what I'm going to talk about in this message today. Grady's talk in the devotional, and then Gary's prayer a while ago. When we talk about where we are, it's been a long time since I've really read the book Habakkuk. You know, Habakkuk, how would you like to grow up with a name like Habakkuk? I mean, that's a name right there. But you know, the same problems that they faced back in Habakkuk's day are problems that we face today. And when you read the book, the purpose of that book, it was written to show that God is still in control of the world despite the circumstances that we face, sometimes the evil circumstances that we face. I want to read a passage of Scripture from Habakkuk, and this is not going to be my message, but it goes going to go along with the message. The last part of Habakkuk, in Habakkuk 3, a short book there, it says, "Though the fig tree should not blossom, and there be no fruit on the vines, though the yield of the olive should fail, and the fields produce no food, though the flock should be cut off from the fold, and there be no cattle in the stalls, yet I will exult in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he has made my feet like hinds' feet, and makes me walk on high places." You know, Habakkuk was saying, though it seems that we live in a dark time, though evil seems to be winning, Habakkuk said, don't ever forget this, God is in control. And that's what we need to remember today. You know, I know these are times that make me shake my head at things that happen in our country. I just go, how did we get here? Well, much like Habakkuk says, we have to look at where we are and we have to remember this, God is still in control. This morning I'm going to be preaching from Acts chapter 16. And I'm going to be talking about praising God in the dark. Now, I'm going to tell you, I am not, anybody that knows me knows I am happy to live in the 70s and 80s. This, I do phones, I'm not going to lie about that. I was telling Clint on the way up to Nebraska, I said, man, we could have had a bag phone, you know. We'd have been happy with a bag phone, you know, those first cell phones. He's like, what's a bag phone? You know, he didn't remember that. But, you know, I'm just, you know, the digital age has kind of passed me by. But I do know this, in photography, before the digital age, the most important work happens in a dark room. Do they even still use dark rooms? Everything's digital now. So, you know, it's a new world we live in. But at one time, the dark room was where it all happened. When the lights were out, that's when real development occurred. And it's where negatives were turned into positives. That's the world I live in. You know, it's in the darkness of our lives many times that we discover something about God. This morning in Acts chapter 16, we're going to go to the dungeon of darkness, so to speak. Paul and Silas, they were having a bad day, a real bad day, proclaiming the gospel, doing what was right, trying to be light, salt in the world, light in the darkness. They were proclaiming the gospel in Philippi, and it had gotten them into trouble. They'd been attacked. They'd been stripped naked. They had been beaten with rods, and they'd been thrown into the inner prison. The inner prison was better known as the dungeon. So they were in the dungeon. Dungeons were dark, dreary, dirty places. Unlike our prisons today, they didn't have the same kind of codes of inspection. Well, in the dungeon, their legs were put into stocks. They couldn't go anywhere, even to escape bodily elimination. It wasn't a pleasant place to be in any shape, form, or fashion. Why were they there? Well, they were there for doing right. They were there for their testimony. Following Christ had led them to the dungeon. Acts chapter 16, let's begin in verse 22. We're going to read through verse 30. The crowd rose up together against them, and the chief magistrates tore their robes off them, proceeded to order them to be beaten with rods. When they had struck them with many blows, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to guard them securely. And he, having received such a command, threw them into the inner prison, fastened their feet in the stocks. But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there came a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison house were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's chains were unfastened. When the jailer awoke and saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." And he called for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. And after he brought them out, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" What are these men doing in the dungeon? Well, verse 25 says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. What were they doing in the darkness? What were they doing in the dungeon? They were worshiping and rejoicing. You know, I want to tell you something. We all, every one of us, praise God for the good times in our life. It's interesting, you know, to hear people interviewed after games. I like to watch a lot of sports, and they'll interview these people. One of the first things a lot of them will do, "I want to thank the Lord for what I was able to accomplish." That's good. But let me tell you, you never hear one interviewed after the game when he struck out with the bases loaded, two outs, bottom of the last inning, go, "I want to praise the Lord that I struck out." We don't do that. We don't think like that. We don't praise God in difficult times in our life. But here we are at a difficult time in his life. You know, we praise God when we get a raise. We praise God when we get a promotion. We praise God that it's not cancer. We praise God when blessings come. But what do you do when everything's collapsing? Paul sang hymns from a stinky, dark dungeon. He's the same guy who wrote in Philippians 4:4, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Again, I say rejoice. Well, this was the time that he was practicing what he was preaching. Notice the time. It was midnight. You know what happens at midnight? One, it's dark. It's dark at midnight. I'm going to tell you something about Nebraska. This week, we walk out of the barn one night at 9:30. After the service, why don't you tell me why it's light at 9:30 in Nebraska and it's dark here in Texas? Tell me that one. Anyway, we walk out, it's 9:30, it's dark. Well, it's midnight. Let me tell you, at midnight, it's dark. Spiritually, emotionally, psychologically, the darkness of midnight comes at times in our life. Midnight is when you're discouraged. Midnight is when you're depressed. Midnight's when you're trying to do right and everything goes wrong. Midnight is that point and place and time in your life when you've got what you don't want, and what you want, you can't have. When life isn't fair, that's midnight. When you're standing up for God, and it looks like the devil's winning, it's midnight. We see it was midnight for Paul and Silas. They were standing up for God, and it got them thrown into prison. It's when Satan and circumstances beat you black and blue. It's midnight when your children are rebellious. It's midnight when your finances aren't working out like they're supposed to. It's midnight when the doctor calls and tells you that your test results didn't come out very good. Midnight is that time when you keep tossing, you keep turning, when you stay up at night and you keep asking these questions, "Why me? Why now? Why this? Why us? Why?" At midnight, you've got lots of questions and far fewer answers. Well, it was midnight for Paul and Silas. And here's another truth. No one escapes midnight. You know, it's like the clock goes around and it's going to touch every minute of the day. Just like the hands on a clock, eventually it's going to come midnight in your life. Eventually it's going to come midnight in my life. It just happens. Jesus said in John 16:33, "In this world you have tribulation." What he was saying, at some point in your life, it's going to be dark. And when it comes, how you respond in those moments of darkness says more about what you believe than anything that happens in the daylight. Because you see in the darkness, you find out what you really believe about God. Anyone can praise God in the daytime. Much more difficult in the darkness. The The psalmist says in Psalm 42:8, by day the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night his song is with me, a prayer to God of my life. At night, when it's dark, when times are hard, how will I respond? Because that says a lot more about what I believe. It was midnight. Paul and Silas had a song in their heart. Not because they had to, because they wanted to. How's that possible? How can we be expected to pray in darkness? You know, I only know of one good reason. You praise God at midnight. You praise God when your world is collapsing. You praise God when nothing is fair and things are bad. You praise God at midnight because you know that God is still God, even when it's dark. You got to know that. That God is still God. He doesn't go off duty. And if he allows you to go through it, there's a reason in it. When Paul and Silas praised God, they made contact with the unseen by the means of the seen. You know what I mean by that? His realm is a spiritual realm. We can't always see into the spiritual realm, but he's given us a connection, and that connection is through praise and worship and adoration. Worship, according to Paul in Colossians 3, 1 and 2, is this: setting your mind on things that are above and not on things of the earth. That's worship. That's connecting with the unseen by setting your mind and your heart on the things that are above. When you can't see the light, when you can't see what's going on around you, when you can't figure out the whys, why me, why now, why us, we focus instead on what you know is true about God. What's on the inside? It's the things that are true about God that can override the difficulties and the trials and the circumstances that you're experiencing on the outside. When Clint was a little kid, I used to laugh. We had this blow-up dummy. He was probably about Aiden's age at the time, maybe a little bigger. He had this little old punching bag thing, and he would hit it and knock it down and come right back up. He'd tackle it, he'd get off, and it'd pop right back up. Y'all seen those things. You know, it was heavy at the bottom and light at the top. You could slap it, you could punch it, you could knock it in any direction. You could beat it to death as long as you didn't poke a hole in it. And as long as you didn't poke a hole in it, it wouldn't stay down. Now, why was that? Because at the bottom, it was weighted down on the inside. The deep weight on the inside overruled anything that was happening on the outside. Now, the spiritual application of that is this. It's what's on the inside. It's the things that we know about God that we will not disbelieve, that we will hold on to when times are hard. It's those things, those foundational things that we hold on the inside. Those things that we know for sure about God that override the circumstances and the experiences that we're facing on the outside. That keep us centered. That keep us popping back up. That keep us going the right direction. It's those things that we know, that we know, that we know. That keep us centered. I want to tell you something. Paul and Silas were human. They weren't superhumans. They weren't in that prison feeling good about being there. I don't know anybody that loves to be in the darkness. I don't know anybody that says, all right, man, we're broke this week. We can't eat tonight. I don't know anybody like that. We don't get happy about those things that come. Paul and Silas weren't happy about being in prison. They weren't happy about being beaten. The circumstances were whipping on them. But it's what they knew on the inside. They praised God, and it did something for them. You know, when you sing to God and praise Him at midnight, when you praise Him in the dark time of your life, something happens to you. Worshiping God at midnight, first of all, changes you. Second of all, it changes your circumstances. And third of all, it will change those people around you. First of all, it changes you by lifting your soul, offering you hope in a difficult situation. You gain hope by focusing on what you know is true despite the circumstances of your life. You can probably think of the times when God has used misery to draw you near to Him. There's probably, you know, we always say we grow more when times are tough because we lean on God. That's probably true for all of us. Probably times in your life where you can think of right now, man, when we were going through a hard time like that, I learned something about God. So it changes us. You find strength you didn't know you had. Secondly, worshiping God can change your circumstances. A better way to say that, it may be that worshiping God changes you so that God is ready to change your circumstances. As God molds you into what He wants you to be and your circumstances change, maybe you're ready to face the next step in your journey. As you know, the change in Paul and Silas' story was quick. It says, suddenly there was an earthquake. So much of an earthquake, foundations of the prison were shaken. And this is cool. Immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bonds were unfastened. You know, instead of the walls falling in on them and killing them, they just opened the doors. That's a pretty cool way to do a prison break. The change came suddenly. The change came unexpectedly. As Paul and Silas were worshiping, their world started shaking. I want you to think about this. Men can build a prison. They can build a sturdy prison. They don't make the ground under it. That's God's territory. And God can make it shake. No matter what prison you may find yourself in this morning, I want you to know something. God controls the foundations. You may feel like there's no way out. Paul and Silas may have felt like there was no way out. I don't see them sitting here singing and saying, hey, let us out now. They were simply trusting in God. And when God says it's time, then they got out. When God says it's time, He makes the doors fly open and the chains fly off. Paul and Silas didn't have physical keys, but they had the spiritual keys of prayer and praise. When midnight comes in your life, God will shrink your self-dependency and He will stretch your ability to trust Him. And as you trust Him more, you'll see and experience God at a deeper level than you ever thought possible. And at a point in time of God's choosing, He will set you free. A third thing that we see happen when you worship in the dark is not only are you changed, but others are changed. We read that when Paul and Silas were singing and praying, verse 25, the prisoners were listening to them. I wonder what they were thinking. Who are these clowns? Maybe they were thinking, boy, y'all got good voices. Or maybe they were thinking, wish y'all be quiet. I don't know what they were thinking, but here's what happened. They were listening to them. It didn't say they didn't join in, but they were tuning in. Here's the application. If you're a Christian today, others are interested in what you're doing at midnight. Others are interested in what and how you're going to handle difficult situations in your life. The other prisoners were in jail too. They had their own experience of darkness. It was midnight for them too. But only these two guys knew what to do in darkness. When the jail shook, it shook for everyone. Look at verse 26. All the doors were opened and everyone's bonds were unfastened. Paul and Silas's praise and blessing to God became a blessing to everyone. You know, the spiritual truth of that is that faithfulness impacts others around you. When you are faithful in times of darkness, you will be a blessing to those who see the way you're responding to difficult times. The jailer drew his sword. He was ready to end it all, take his own life, because you know what? If those prisoners escaped, it was going to be taken anyway, probably in a much more difficult way. Seconds from suicide, he saw no hope if the prisoners escaped on his watch, and Paul cried out, "Don't harm yourself, we're all here." They all could have run to freedom. Here's what Paul knew. The reason that we're blessed is to be a blessing to others. We're saved so that others might find salvation. God speaks to us so that we can speak to others. So Paul and Silas ministered to the jailer that night, and he and his entire family became believers. God wants to know, when our rescue comes, will we turn and reach for those around us? I told a story a couple of weeks ago about the lifeboats, the Titanic, how they were only half full, but people were afraid to go back because if they went back, they would be overturned. God wants us to be in the lifeboat looking for survivors, looking for those who need a way out. Job worshiped even without a full explanation of his suffering. You know, he went through a time of darkness. Job 23:10 says, "He knows the way I take. When he has tried me, I shall come out as gold." Job knew there would be an end to his test. When times are dark, we have to remember things will eventually get better, especially as we trust in God. What it would occur in Job's life, that it would show him to be the man that God had called him to be. Job's worship was honest. He admitted the struggle. He openly voiced his complaint to God. But it never caused him to doubt God's goodness, because he knew what he knew. When he went through the difficult times, he held on to what he knew about God. Things are going from bad to worse, but I know he's watching over me. Nothing touches me first without being filtered through his hands. When your circumstances are dark, when you feel the tendency to shut down, when we as a nation look at our government and we go, "What is going on?" I don't know how many times I've heard that question in the last month. What is going on? If there was ever a time to worship, it's now. Lift God up through whatever struggle that you're facing. Lift him up through your tears. Lift him up through your pain. Lift him up through your anger. Lift him up through the struggle. Because let me tell you, he's getting ready to take you to the next level. He's getting ready from darkness into the light. He's getting ready to set you free. But he's going to teach you something about himself along the way. He's going to take you to a new level of spiritual growth. He wants you to know, above all things in life, that you can trust him. And if you don't know that, everything in your life is going to be a struggle. Do you know that you can trust God this morning, even if it's midnight in your life? You can trust him at noon the same way. The key is we need to keep on worshiping. We need to keep on seeking. Keep on singing. Keep on praising. Because God's got something he wants to teach you. Let's pray. Lord, this morning there may be folks here who are in the midst of the struggle. Things aren't adding up. Why me? Why us? Why now? Why? Lord, I pray that if there's anyone that's in the prison at midnight this morning, Lord, that they might praise and worship you, that they might hang on to what they know, the truth of who you are and how much you care. And through the storm, that they may be found faithful. Lord, thank you that you reveal yourself to us at times of your own choosing. Maybe not as quickly as we'd like, but Lord, that we know that you are there. We know you hear our prayer. And God, I pray for those this morning who are there seeking a way out. There's others here today, Lord, who just who need to take the next step of faith, whether it be to trust you as Lord and Savior, whether it be to join this church, whether it be to begin to serve you faithfully. Lord, wherever we find ourselves, I pray that we would find ourselves praising and worshiping you, trusting you, believing in you. It's in the name of Jesus I ask this. Amen.